earth, and sky.
I think the most important thing of all about SETI is that even if we don't find a signal, it could still change everything.
You're listening to Jill Tarter, astronomer and director of the Center for SETI Research. And this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science. SETI stands for Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. At a science meeting, she talked to Earth Sky's Lindsay Patterson about SETI's celebration of its 50th year and how SETI is a success whether or not it ever detects a signal of extraterrestrial life.
Explain the origins of SETI. How did it start?
Well, people have been wondering about whether there's life elsewhere for millennia. And what we used to do is ask the priests and the philosophers what we should believe. What was so cool is that in the middle of the 20th century, we got some new tools, radio telescopes, that would allow us to do an experiment to try and answer the question scientifically. And we count the beginnings of observational SETI with a search that Frank Drake did on the Green Bank telescope in 1960. So SETI is 50 years old this year.
And so what have been some of the major milestones in the past 50 years that have kind of really marked the search that SETI started with?
We in the United States developed a program within NASA, which was involved NASA Ames Research Center and the Jet Propulsion Laboratory. And that was a major undertaking to systematically explore the terrestrial microwave window, the clear window on the cosmos that is set at the lower end by noise from synchrotron radiation, electrons spinning around in the magnetic fields of the galaxy, and at the upper end by our own atmosphere, the fact that we have oxygen and water vapor that's adding noise. So this 1 to 10 gigahertz range we were hoping to explore systematically as a NASA project. We were successful. We began to start a 1,000-star search, which would have been what NASA did, using large radio telescopes around the world. We completed that in 2004, doing 1,000 stars over a decade. And at the same time, we began optical SETI because some workshops that we held at the SETI Institute 97, 98, 99 showed that the technology, very fast photon counters, was now available and affordable. So optical SETI got started in 1997 and is continuing today, most notably at Harvard, where there is a dedicated sky survey instrument for doing optical SETI. And at the SETI Institute, given the directions that the workshop suggested, SETI 2020, we began to build our own telescope for the very first time. This is a partnership with the University of California, Berkeley. It's called the Allen Telescope Array because the technology development and the first phase of construction was funded by Paul Allen. It's a way of building a very large radio telescope out of individually small dishes. And we hope eventually to have 350 dishes. Today we have 42.
So have you gotten any hopeful signals yet?
Over the years, we've had several what we call false positives because in the end, they turned out to be our own technology. But there were a couple that kept us excited for hours. And the one that kept us puzzled for the longest time was a satellite in orbit around the sun called SOHO.
So what keeps you motivated to keep looking?
This is the oldest question, perhaps, that humans have asked themselves. Are we alone? What's our place in the cosmos? How do we fit in? And I just think it's an incredible privilege to be part of the first generation that can actually try and do a systematic scientific exploration. And what keeps me motivated is the fact that I get up in the morning and I have two challenges. One, to go find the money to keep this going, and two, to figure out how to do it better than we did yesterday. And that latter is actually much easier than the former because of the whole exponential increase in compute speeds, and that's just going to get better and better.
So what would the discovery of life on other planets really mean for humans?
That's something that's very hard to say. Certainly in this country, polls would indicate that more than 50% of our population already believes, without any proof, I might add, but they believe that there is extraterrestrial intelligent life. And so it wouldn't be very shocking for that 50%. For the others, I think it's going to depend a lot on the nature of the discovery. If suddenly we get presented with the Encyclopedia Galactica, that's going to be really cool. If instead we get presented with a puzzle that may take years or decades to figure out, well, I think people are going to lose interest. The scientists will keep engaged and we'll be delighted.
And so what's the most important thing that you would want to tell our listeners or share about SETI's mission and kind of looking forward into the next 50 years?
I think the most important thing of all about SETI is that even if we don't find a signal, it could still change everything. And Phil Morrison, a physicist from MIT who recently passed away, Phil Morrison had this lovely way of characterizing SETI. He said, it is, in fact, the archaeology of the future. What he meant is it's archaeology. Any signal we receive is going to tell us about their past because it only could travel at the speed of light to get here. But if we detect a signal, then, in fact, we know it's possible for technologies to last for a long time. Signal detection isn't a possibility unless, on average, technologies are long-lived. Because if they're short-lived, you'll never have any two in a 10-billion-year-old galaxy or a 13.7-billion-year-old universe. No two civilizations will ever coexist in time to find one another. So the detection of a signal is hopeful. And talking to people about SETI, getting people actively involved in doing SETI, in thinking about SETI, means that it gives us an opportunity to get them to change their perspective, to actually look at themselves within a vast cosmos. And that, if you really take it seriously, has the effect of trivializing the differences among people. And that's got to be good. And maybe that can change the world.
You've been listening to Jill Tarter, astronomer and director of the Center for SETI Research. She spoke with Lindsay Patterson at a 2010 meeting of the AAAS, or American Association for the Advancement of Science. To subscribe to this and other free science interview podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. I'm Jorge Salazar. EarthSky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.